Well, I want to preach for a little while this morning, and I challenge you with one last thing. I feel like sometimes these are, like they say, public service announcements. I don't mean it like that, but the Lord put on my heart in a very definitive way this week that I should tell everybody that we ought to use this week also. Of course, we should share the gospel with people, but we also should reach out to people this week that don't have the ability to get out, shut-ins, or whatever you want, however they're labeled. I challenge you to, if you can, go in person. If not, at least make some calls to people. It's a very discouraging time of year for folks if they're not able to get out. So if you have somebody in your sphere, I challenge you to reach out to them and encourage them along the way, possibly a gift or whatnot, but just to share your ability to go with them. I know it would be a wonderful, wonderful blessing to different folks. So just that word that I felt like I should share with you today as well. Well, we're looking at Luke chapter number 2, and we'll get into the Christmas story again, Luke chapter 2, and then in a little bit we'll be going to Ephesians, and so we'll preach a good bit of the message from there. But I want to preach about peace on earth. That's what the angels told the shepherds there. There'll be on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But if you find your place in Luke chapter 2, as you find your place in Luke chapter 2, I did hear this story about this this coach that was coaching a little league baseball, and he was having trouble with some folks there, and so he got the young players, and he said, "Do you understand that your cooperation is so important that we cooperate and we act as a team?" And they all nodded their head. Well, one little boy, he really felt like he needed to hone in on him, and he said, "Do you understand that?" And he nodded there. He said, "You understand what matters most is if we win together as a team," the coach went on, and the little boy said, "Yes," he nodded. And so he persisted, the coach did. He said, "So when a strike is called and you're out, or if you get called out at first base, then it's okay. We don't argue. We don't curse. We don't attack the umpire. You understand all that?" And the little boy's like, "Yeah, yeah." And so then the coach looked at the little boy and said, "Good. Now, would you go over and tell your mom all of those things that you understand so she'll behave that way too?" So I did coach not baseball but soccer for a little while, 3 and 4 year olds. And I will attest that I had a lot more trouble from the parents than I had for the kids. The kids, they just moved like a little collective unit around the ball, boom. Wherever the ball was, it didn't matter. That's just where they were going. And but parents were a different story. So parents, be on your best behavior. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I want to preach about that peace on earth. We understand that the message is given here and that peace would be on earth. And we see that earlier in the passage there would be glory to God in the highest. Yes, praise the Lord. The angels were proclaiming the goodness of God. On earth, peace, so it says in verse 14. But in the world, as you look across it today, there's not peace universally. It's not all across the world. So we have to understand what does God mean by those things. And then he goes on to say, after the peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We're trying to work on that. As I mentioned, we should be living in such a way. But as we look at that, and we need to look at the absence of peace in the world, understand what peace is, the word shalom, state of tranquility, harmony, both with oneself and with others, an absence of conflict, and the presence of God's blessings, peace. But you, as I look at the world, and you look at the world, we see that there is a world that's living in anything but peace in many cases. And so we have to step back before that peace is proclaimed in this passage and see what it is that this peace is and why it was so important that the angels gave it that day to say, on earth, peace. If you will, I want you to look at Ephesians. You're in Luke. Just go write several books. Ephesians, all the books that end in uns are together. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So Ephesians chapter 2. and verse number 12 and on down there a little bit, we're going to look and see why it was such an important proclamation when the angel said, on earth, peace, because there was a world that lived without peace. In verse number 12 of Ephesians 2, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, specifically, this was preached to a Gentile audience, and these people were saying, you were without the treasure of the traditions of Judaism. You're without any of that. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But we're going to see here in just a verse or two that it's not going to matter whether Jew, Gentile, all of them are going to have the wall of partition torn down, and they're going to have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, meaning that all of those things that were proclaiming us guilty, those commandments, the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. See, the trouble started, and the situation was that this passage, talking to the Gentile believers, the people there, said, you've come to Christ, but you were at enmity, meaning you were enemies with God. They, the Gentiles, didn't have a religion to go back to. Back in the Old Testament, even the Jewish people, there would have been in the temple, there would have been a spot that the Gentiles could come in. There was a wall we separated, but there was a spot they could come in to try to come to worship Jehovah God. But now these times are coming, and he said the wall is torn down. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. All can come to Jesus Christ. But the problem was they all had this lack of peace because of the enmity or the enemy status that we were with God. I said, wait a minute, Pastor John, I'm not an enemy of God. But the truth of the matter is all of us started that way. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, that for all have sinned. And so the Bible teaches that when we sin, we've all done things wrong against somebody. And yes, we do that lie or that wrongdoing against somebody, but a greater damage is done than that. That wrong or that sin that we do to somebody, maybe a friend of ours or family member, we lie to them. But that lie or that wrongdoing is done in front of God Almighty. And so all the things that we do wrong are not only against those people that we do them against, but in the sight of God Almighty. And so that's why it was so important on the day that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds on earth, peace. Because there's peace to that person who has their sins taken care of. I want you to see, first of all, in verse 12 and 13 that we looked at, the need for peace. The need for peace is because they were without Christ. They were aliens from the commonwealth. At the end of verse number 12, there was no hope. There was without God in the world. The need for peace was prevalent then, but the need for peace is now. I think about the people in Johnson City and the people in Kingsport. What do those people need? They need the exact same thing that the people in Atlanta need, and the people in Mexico need, and the people that in Africa need. They need to have peace with God, but the reason they can't is because of their sin. The Bible says in the end of verse 12, they were strangers having no hope without God. Now, the best that man can do is get peace from the outside, from slightly before 27 BC up to about AD 180, there was a time called the Roman Peace, Pax Romana. And it was a period of unprecedented peace and prosperity. The Roman Empire was pushing forward, making great strides, building cities and building roadways and building aqueducts. And they were experiencing a large or a great season there of relative peace. Cities were being modernized. And with all of the things that were going on, there weren't as many trouble spots. Religion during that time was tolerated. Okay, if you want to do that, that's when we see Jesus come on the scene, and especially at the time when he goes toward the cross, and we see the Roman Empire is ruling strong and the Jewish people just submitting to them. But that was the peace that man could do. But you say, well, if people can do that peace, well, then why do we need anything else? Here's the problem. Man can only put peace from the outside, kind of down, come down from the top and force folks to do what is right. But what the peace of God that the angels talked about that day when they came to the shepherds was not that thing being forced upon you from the outside, but instead that peace from the inside. And you and I know very well people, and we're some of them as well, that we have anxiety on the inside, even though on the outside we look like everything is going well. The need for peace is there because our sins, the Bible says, separate us between us and God. No wonder the Bible said in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it shall be great joy to all people. Because the cry has always been for peace, but sometimes we look at peace and the way that we choose to get it is by making people do what I think they should do. And there'll never be a universal peace brought about by man's attempts. It has to be a higher level, and that's, of course, from the Lord. But I want you to look on in this chapter in Ephesians, verse number 14. We see not only the need for peace in verse 12 and 13, but then in verse number 14, for he is our peace. The need is explained in the first couple of verses, but then we see that peace comes with Christ in verse number 14. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Look at what Christ has done. He has gone to the heart of the matter and takes it to the need where we have, and that is that we're sinners and we cannot be at peace with God. We in our society want to bring everybody to a level playing field. If only we gave people more opportunities, if only we gave them more social programs, if only we did more to help the people that are down and take some from here and give to those, and if we can level it all out. But there's only a certain amount of things that we can do to help people from social programming. Because truly the Bible is right when it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. We can't fix something from a physical standpoint when it's a spiritual problem. And my friend, we all had that spiritual problem. Marcus was a fellow that struggled with alcohol for years, and he had been to different rehab programs with some success. But as soon as he got out of the program, then the success would leave and he'd be back into the same issue that he had before. But finally, somebody connected him with a Christian, religious recovery group, and he did more than find some of their steps and some of their recommendations. He found Christ. And so to this day, he is living in the victory, and now he would say that I have peace because I got my spiritual problems taken care of. Another fellow, David, different than Marcus, but David was very, very successful, but he felt empty on the inside. Sort of out of curiosity, he went to help with a homeless shelter, maybe more to make himself feel good than to do help for the people who were there. But regardless, he went, he served with a little bit of lack of heart, but eventually he got with some of the staff there and he saw their sincerity. And he found what made them so sincere in their endeavors, and that was a relationship with Christ. And so here the person that's coming to help, really just to maybe appease his conscience some, he gets saved and he gets his sins taken care of. And now the business that he did have, he's left. And so now he spends his days with nonprofit organizations and ministry work because peace truly came to his heart when he found Christ. Somebody put it like this: if our greatest need in this world were information, then God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was technology, then God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need was pleasure, then God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was not any of those. Our greatest need was forgiveness from our sin. And so God sent a Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ. And so perhaps we've all gathered together today to realize, even though that we've said it for years, to realize what the true reason for the season is, and that is Jesus Christ brings peace. I want you to go back, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. We're in Ephesians, but go back to Luke where we started. I gave you my third point and final one. Not only is there that need for peace over in Ephesians, but with Christ that peace comes. But then I would give you this one in verse number 14, that peace with Christ should bring peace with others. At the end of verse number 14, it says, glory to God in the highest, yes. But at the end of the verse says, peace, goodwill toward men. The babe in the manger that didn't stay a babe grew and suffered the cruel death on the cross. That babe brings peace in our heart. But that peace in our heart shouldn't stay there so that we're some kind of incognito Christian and that nobody knows what's going on the inside. It ought to come out. One little girl, she had heard in her Sunday school class and in children's services and all these different things about Jesus coming into your heart. And sometimes we use that phraseology, and it would be the equivalent of somebody saying to their sweetheart, I love you with all of my heart. Not that muscle that pumps blood, but the way that the heart is used in the Bible is it's our seat of emotions. It's our center of us. It's the essence of us with all of my heart. That's the way we tell somebody that you love them with all your heart. Well, the same thing when somebody says, I invited Christ into my heart. That means into my life for forgiveness of sins. But this little girl didn't understand that. And she had heard her Sunday school teacher and heard other people say, invite Jesus into your heart. So finally, she, in a disturbed or misunderstanding way, she asked her dad, says, Dad, if somebody so big as Jesus moved into your heart, wouldn't he stick out everywhere? And then you would say, out of the mouths of babes. Because truly, that's not bad theology. Because if something as powerful as the Almighty God takes up residence in our heart, the Bible says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that he should stick out everywhere. So I would ask you that question, is Jesus sticking out everywhere in your life? In the way you behave toward that store clerk, in the way that you treat your family at home, in the way that your spouse gets responded to you or responded from you? Why don't we use this season to do what the scripture says and have goodwill toward men? I already told you that we already have a little disdain for everybody taking the special aspect of the season out and putting in the commercialism, but they don't dictate what we do. We have several teachers in the room today, and what do you tell your young students, especially kindergarten, first grade? You can't control what they do, but you can control what we do. And so we understand that we can have goodwill toward men. And if Christ has moved into our life, if we are born again, if we do have a new nature, then certainly we should be giving goodwill toward men. I've heard it said about people that their attitude or their spirit, little s, their way of acting, their attitude, speaks so loud, I can't hear what they're saying. Perhaps you're going to invite somebody to this Christmas Eve service for a nice Christmas tradition. You invite that person. If they've known you very long, it shouldn't be a total shock to them that you go to church. What, you? We ought to be having goodwill toward men so that when we do get an opportunity to say, hey, interested in coming with me to this candlelight service? They say, yeah, I figured you might go to a thing like that. We ought to be giving goodwill toward men. So this morning, as we see this need that's coming about, the angels come and talk to the shepherds to say, on earth, peace. But we come to today and say there's a lot of people not living in peace. But the opportunity and the offer is open to all people that they would have that peace with God by their sins being forgiven. So the true message of Christmas, peace on earth, the way to have peace on earth is for you and I and everybody else to go to bed tonight knowing that between you and the Lord, all our sins are taken care of. forgiven. So we're living in a world that's looking for some genuine Christians that would be in action and in word living a life that says goodwill toward men. And they're looking for them. I ask this question, could it be that somebody lives on the other side of your next door neighbor? Maybe that isn't a Christian. Is a better neighbor than you that live on this side of your next door neighbor? Wouldn't that be a shame? Because we do have the hope of Christ within us, then we ought to be the best neighbor, ought to be the best coworker, the best family member, because of what Christ has done for us to give us peace on earth because of our sins being taken care of. I give you these three questions as we have a little quiz before you leave. Number one, to everybody, I'd like to ask, do you have peace with Christ? And what I mean is, specifically, are your sins taken care of? Have you come to Christ, realizing who He was, what He came for, to die on the cross for you and for me? And have you invited Him into your heart, like that little girl didn't understand the saying? Have you invited Him into your life for forgiveness of sin? Do you have peace with Christ? Number two, are you at peace with yourself? Because that same Savior that died for your sins also has the ability to and does orchestrate the events of your life. And so we need to be at peace with where God has us. Oh, I should have gotten that promotion. I should have gotten this. I should have been the one that they chose for this. I should have done this. I should have had this. I should have had this health issue. I shouldn't have had this other problem. My friend, you'll drive yourselves crazy. You're just going to have to be at peace with the Lord. Say, Lord, you've put me where I am. I did think I would get that promotion, or I did think I'd get that other connection, but I gave it my best shot and it didn't work out. Lord, I'm trusting you. Are you at peace with yourself? And then thirdly, are you at peace with others? Goodwill toward men, that's what the angels proclaimed to the shepherds that day. Goodwill toward men. Let's get it right down to where we live. If somebody was walking in that back door, is there somebody that could walk in that back door and you see them and you say, oh, I hope they don't come down my aisle. I don't want them to sit by me. If there's anybody like that, you, my friend, should get things right between you and the Lord. You say, yeah, but you don't know what they've done. I don't know what they've done. You're right. And don't catch me after church and tell me what they've done because I don't want to know. But if there's somebody in this world that your blood pressure is going to spike up or your heart rate's going to increase and you're going to have this problem because somebody comes in the room where you are, that's not a way to live life. I already mentioned you can't control what they think about you, but you can control what you've given to God. Say, Lord, I give the whole thing to you. They owe you money. They've done something wrong to you. They've not acted like a brother or a sister or a neighbor should. That's all on them. All we can do is have that goodwill toward men. So are you at peace with God this morning? Will you lay your head on your pillow tonight, knowing for sure that your sins are taken care of because your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you at peace with yourself as well? To know that you are living as best you can the way the Lord wants you to live? And then are you at peace with other people? Is there somebody that could ruin your day by coming in? If there is, I challenge you to give that whole situation to God. Get yourself right on your side. If you can, get it right on there. Help them get around their side, but you may not be able to. But this is the season to have peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So this morning, it's all about peace. Father, I pray that you bless us now as our prayer. Lord, I ask you to help each and every one of us live our lives in such a way. I pray that we would take a little inventory this morning, dear God. A little checklist. Am I at peace with God? Are you? Only you know. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor John, I don't know. I don't have that peace settled in my heart, that I have peace with God, that I'm on my way to heaven, that I'm saved, but I certainly know I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to go where I deserve to go, and that's a horrendous place called hell. You say, Pastor John, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to miss it. Would you pray for me? I won't come to you, won't embarrass you. As they begin to play here, and when they find something to play, and you'd say, Pastor John, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I certainly know I want to. I don't want to miss it. Would you lift your hand up? Nobody looking, just me. Say, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I'll pray for you. I won't call your name out even if I know it. I wouldn't call it for nothing. Anybody at all? Maybe somebody's watching. Here in the auditorium, watching on live stream, listening on the radio, if you don't have peace with God, you don't have your sins forgiven, my friend, that's why Christ came for you. Put your faith in Him, my friend. Believe on Him. Turn to Him from all that you can do. Turn to Him for forgiveness of your sins. And then maybe there's some other need. You're here, you're saved, you know the Lord, but there's something definite that God brought to your mind that you need to get right with somebody else in this world. First of all, my friend, the first step is get it right with God right there where you are. Confess it, whatever it needs to be done. Confess it, get it right. And say, Lord, what should I do to make it right with somebody else? What a joy to get to come together. If you're able to, while they're playing, would you stand together, make it a little bit easier on somebody to come out? Brother Daniel's going to be right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. And maybe you're here, you need some spiritual guidance, need some spiritual help. My friend, the best thing you can do is just give these things to the Lord. And Brother Daniel would be glad to help, pray with you, lead you, help you. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you're saved, but you need to make some spiritual decision for the Lord. Maybe you need to be baptized. We'll take care of it real soon in some service. Maybe God's already led you. You need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And God's confirmed that today. You come present yourself for membership. Whatever your need is, you step out and come. They'll play another verse or two. Let's take this time that God has given us to do business with Him. Amen to that. Thank you so much. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come back and lead us in Joy to the World. It's the first song that we sang, I believe, as a congregation. And we'll sing that as our going home song. Amy got some gifts and some candy for the kids. And so I'll be back there with a bag. Any young people, if you got to get them in children's church, you come back by our way. We've got some candy canes and some gummy bears. Now, I'm looking at a few of you, Rick Hall. Listen, I know that you're no kid. So don't come looking for my candy, all right? Nancy, would you take care of him? Make sure that he doesn't come. Maybe later after all the kids get taken care of. So, bring them by, and she's got something for all of them. But it's a joy to be here. I know that people will travel. If you can't be here Wednesday night, please pray that God would bring us a great crowd on that Christmas Eve service. It's a wonderful time to get folks that don't go to church to get in here. So please pray. If you can't be here, pray for that God would give us a great time. And then if you can be here at all tonight, we have a wonderful time at the pageant, Christmas at the courtyard. It's going to be a great evening, and we're looking forward to enjoying all of it. Brother Daniel, come lead us in one verse of Joy to the World.
Lifted up on this first verse, joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing.
Have a good afternoon. You're dismissed.